Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. I've spent most of my adult life working on the technology that makes cell phones work. And if anyone's interested, I could tell you all about it. I will warn you, though, that it involves a lot of math. So I will not ask for a show of hands. But I don't want to talk tonight about how cell phones work. Instead, I want to talk tonight about how cell phones work on us. One social commentator has very wisely observed that we shape our tools, and then our tools shape us. And with no tool has that been more true than with our so-called smartphones that we carry around with us everywhere we go, it seems. We're told that on average, an American checks his or her cell phone 150 times a day. If we're being shaped by our tools, then how are we being shaped by our smartphones? Well, number one, our smartphones are making us careless. I think we would all agree that a chainsaw is a very powerful tool, and I suspect that very few of us would be careless in using a chainsaw. A smartphone is much more powerful than that chainsaw, isn't it? Are we being as careful with its use as we would be with that chainsaw? Are we careful about what we see on it? Are we careful about what we say on it? Perhaps our first question should be, well, does it matter? Jesus tells us it definitely matters. Look at Matthew 12, starting in verse 36. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. A careless word is a word that is uttered without any thought for the effect that it will have. And lazy, thoughtless digital chatter definitely falls in that category, doesn't it? Careless use of a smartphone can do great damage. As someone said, our words can sway men to violence, or they can move them to the noblest actions. Our words can instruct the ignorant, encourage the dejected, comfort the sorrowing, and soothe the dying, or they can crush the human spirit, destroy reputations, spread distrust and hate, and bring nations to the brink of war. That's what we're carrying around in our hands with our smartphones. We should take the command of Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. We need to be on guard against the careless use of our words, and particularly when it comes to the use of our smartphones. Number two, our smartphones are lowering our literacy. Nicholas Carr described this problem very well in his book on the internet, which is aptly titled The Shallows. Here's what he said. Over the last few years, I've had an uncomfortable sense that someone or something has been tinkering with my brain, remapping the neural circuitry, reprogramming the memory. My mind isn't going, as far as I can tell, but it's changing. I'm not thinking the way I used to think, and I feel it most strongly when I'm reading. I used to find it easy to immerse myself in a book or a lengthy article. My mind would get caught up in the twist of the narrative or the turns of the argument, and I'd spend hours strolling through long stretches of prose, he writes. That's rarely the case anymore. Now my concentration starts to drift after a page or two. I get fidgety, lose the thread, begin looking for something else to do. I feel like I'm always dragging my wayward brain back to the text. The deep reading that used to come naturally has now become a struggle, he writes. I don't think he's the only one that feels that way. One cannot overstate the importance of words to a Christian. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1, verse 1. If you ever hear anybody denigrating or belittling the written or the spoken word in favor of, for example, something better felt or experienced, That person is not proclaiming the gospel. The gospel is the word of truth, and it is conveyed with words. We need to be very careful with anything that would threaten to lower our literacy. Television certainly falls in that category. Our smartphones also fall in that category. A recent study compared reading comprehension for digital reading versus reading a piece of paper. Very interesting study. They did two things. First thing they did was they gave each person the same amount of text and the same amount of time, and they told them to take all the time. If it's, let's say, 10 minutes, they said, you take the full 10 minutes and you read this text, and then I'm going to quiz you to see how well you comprehended it. In that situation, both groups had about the same level of comprehension. Second test, they gave them the text, one on paper, one on digital, and they said, take as much time as you want. As much time as it takes, you take it and read it, and then I'm going to ask you some questions about it. In that test, guess who won? The paper group won big time. The digital group fell far below the paper group on their ability to comprehend and understand the text. Why? What made the difference there? The answer is simple. We tend to skim digital text. We skim it. We don't read it deeply. We skim it. Why? Because we're presented with so much of it every day. Most of it not worth reading, that we just get in the habit of skimming anything we see on that screen. And that showed in that test, didn't it? Well, there's a problem for Christians there, isn't it? Because wisdom, biblical wisdom, the wisdom that comes from the Word of God, does not come to those who skim, does it? Proverbs 2, verses 4 and 5. If thou seekest her, wisdom, as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We should search for it like we would a hidden treasure. You don't find that skimming the surface, do you? Digital reading is hurried reading. Often, even when we don't want it to be, it ends up being hurried, superficial reading. The more time I spend reading tweets and text messages and blogs and Facebook posts and breaking news, the more my attention span starts to drift, and it's hard to focus on anything that I see on that screen. When we're engaged in an endless game of trivial pursuit, it should not surprise us when at the end of that, all we find is trivia. That's what we were pursuing. While the gospel is simple, the Bible is not. It's just not. We know it's not. The Bible is powerful. It's living. It's relevant. But it's also ancient and long and complicated. It takes study to understand it. Deep, sustained study of God's Word is what it takes. And that requires difficult and sustained work on our part. And our cell phone is fighting against that, isn't it? Number three, our smartphones are changing our priorities. Managing a smartphone takes a lot of work, doesn't it? We get an endless stream of emails and text messages and Facebook posts and tweets and text alerts on and on and on. As the smartphone takes more and more of our time and our attention, we need to stop and ask ourselves an important question. What is getting crowded out of our lives? Think back to life before the smartphone. Some of us probably can't do that, but some of us can. We had the same 24 hours a day that we have now. What were we doing then that we're not doing today because we have that smartphone attached to us? We need to be asking ourselves that question. Has our spiritual life suffered? Rather than praying without ceasing, are we checking our cell phone without ceasing? Rather than depending on God's Word to tell us how to think and how to live, are we depending upon our smartphone for that? Has our selflessness been replaced by a selfie? If so, the explanation for why that has happened is very simple. We become like what we behold. Psalm 115, verses 4 through 8. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk. They do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, the psalmist says. So do all who trust in them. Psalm 115, verses 4 through 8. How do we guard against that problem? We must be very careful about what we behold. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, what am I saying here tonight? Well, let me start with what I'm not saying. I'm not saying we should quit using our smartphones. I carry one with me everywhere I go. I have one up here with me in this pulpit. So I'm not saying that at all. In fact, some of this lesson was written on a smartphone. What I am saying is that we should not assume that our smartphones are not having an effect on us, and we need to guard against that. Paul's statement in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11 is the theme of this lesson. Lest Satan should gain an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan can use anything or anyone as one of his devices to tempt us. And our smartphones certainly make it easy on him unless we're very careful. We must not be ignorant of his devices. We need to make sure that our smartphone does not become one of his devices. In short, we need to put the smart back in smartphone. If you need the prayers of the church tonight, this is your opportunity to come forward and ask for prayers, and we will pray for you, help you any way we can. And if you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will never find a better opportunity than tonight to come forward and do that, confess the name of Christ, and be baptized for the remission of sins. If we can help you in any way tonight, please come while we stand, while we sing.